This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they will send you in the right direction. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. Todd, you see, you know how much I love the sport of baseball. I think baseball is just a great game, great sport. Phillies are a fun team to watch. I mean, really a fun team to watch. But at the same time, you have to do something that advances the sport. And for all we know, this is the only great year Skeens has. For all we know, Skeens has 10 years like this. We don't know. I mean, Wheeler's had a career. He's been terrific. But Skeens starting the All-Star game on just one night, and you have him out there, and you know Aaron Judge is in the lineup. He'll be at the top of the order. You know, second or third he'll hit. Right? That'll be a matchup you'll have in the first inning, and people will want to watch that.
Well, and let's be honest, you know, you get Miss Dunn involved and all her followers on social media, and you get a little interest that way as well, and that draws some, maybe gets some new eyes in that first inning. I think it can only be a plus for baseball, but, mm-hmm. you know, these guys aren't always the most forward-thinking all the time, though, either.
No, and again, has Tyler Glasnow earned an opportunity to start the All-Star game? Absolutely. Has Zach Wheeler earned an opportunity to start the All-Star game? No question. Ranger Suarez has an argument to start the All-Star game. Right? But which one, right, in a general sense, would get the casual fan to say, you know what, Tuesday night, I want to watch the beginning of that game? And then maybe they hang around longer. See, this is about getting the casual fan involved. This is not about the diehard. The diehard is going to be sitting there all night waiting for their guy to get in the game or guys to get in the game. Right? And they'll watch it because it's the All-Star game. So this is not about the diehard. And this is not about the individual teams. Right? This is about, let's do something that it might be fun to see right out of the gate. And you have to think big picture. Baseball is not very good at big picture. It's always been one of the minuses of baseball. The people that run it have always had a narrow sense of it. Now, when they put the new rules in, that was big picture. Right? 20, you know, the pitch clocks, outlawing shifts, you can only play on the dirt, things like that. At least it gives them more opportunity to see the ball in play. And at least getting some people to stop thinking about the analytics side of it, because analytics, when they start telling you that a strikeout is like any other out, then that tells me you have no idea about how the game is played. When the ball is in play, it may just be another out. But you don't know if he bobbles it. You don't know if he throws it away. You don't know if it's hit in such a way where he doesn't beat it out. Right? You don't know. And that's why a strikeout is not like any other out. And that's where you start to lose me with your theories. Right, that I sit there and go, wait a minute, that has no common sense to it. Joey Gallo striking out 180 times but hitting 24 home runs. Is that good? And to be honest with you, I didn't think Dave Kingman was good. And he had 400 and... How many home runs did he hit? 450, 460 home runs? And he struck out how many times? Right? I didn't sit there and go, oh, boy, I can't wait. Dave Kingman was always a guy like you wanted to see come to the plate because he could hit 1,000 miles. And, by the way, if you were playing against him, you feared that he was at the plate. And many, many times in the course of his career... Yeah, you have 442 home runs. All right. 442 home runs. Let's see. How many times did we strike out? 1,816 times. He had 250 more strikeouts than hits. Right? And he was a feared hitter in his lifetime. But why did he play for the Mets, the Giants, the Cubs, the A's, the Padres, the Angels, and the Yankees? Because everybody kind of said, well, okay, well, this is what we get with him. Okay. All right.
His personality didn't help either.
No, it didn't help. But he also had 236.
Yeah.
And he had a non-base percentage of 302. Gee, it sounds a lot like O'Neill Cruz. Like Dave Kingman in the analytics era would have been like, hey, look at this, 442 home runs. All right? 1,210 RBIs in 16 years. Great. He had 2 years he drove in over 100. 2 years he led the league in home runs. All right? He did make the All-Star game, ding, 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 twice. No, three times. Three times he made the All-Star game. The year he had 48, he made it. The other year he led the league in home runs. He didn't make the All-Star team. And then as a kid, when he was with the Mets, he had like 37 homers 1 year he made the All-Star team. So he made it three times. But, like...
The season-by-season strikeout numbers, though, are kind of quaint in this era.
Yeah.
Like 156 doesn't seem like so much when there's guys striking out 205 times.
Right, exactly. And now it's a different ball game pitching wise. Now you've got people throwing out. Look, they're throwing their arms out the way they pitch today. Why are there so many pitching injuries, over and over again? Hey, before we continue on, I do want to make note of this, and it's a sad, sad note, and that is about AJ Litton. You saw the accident. I think it took place. I think it took place in Maryland.
Yeah, Prince George County.
Yeah, where Kyrie Jackson, the fourth round pick of the Minnesota Vikings, who started his career at Alabama, went to Oregon, was killed in a car crash. Three people died in that crash, and one of them was AJ Litton, who played for Penn State. AJ was here as a corner. AJ was also one of the gunners on special teams. Made a couple big plays when he was here. He had transferred in from Florida State. And only 24 years of age. And nobody in this car, in the car AJ was in, was at fault. It was the other driver that was absolutely at fault in this. And it just... Oh man,
Steve Jones Show. This is Todd speaking.
It's just awful what happened. So I wanted to pass along our deepest condolences to AJ's family, his friends, of course, the Penn State football family. To have something like this, it's just terrible, terrible. Live every day to the fullest. You don't know what's going to happen. So awful.
Hey, Steve. Bob from Hanover is on the line.
Bob from Hanover. Bob, how are you today? Great to have you on. Your Orioles are playing great.
Yes, they are. And I just a comment about the strikeouts. Yeah, I don't know about striking out versus hitting the ball for an out on the offensive side. But on the defensive side, I heard an interesting story by Jim Palmer. And he, when he started his career with the Orioles, he roomed with, I believe it was Robin Roberts on the road. Robin was near the end of his career. And he said, Robin said to me, he goes, what are you doing out there? And Jim goes, what do you mean? He goes, do you think you got to strike everybody out? And he goes, well, I'm a pitcher. And he goes, you're an idiot. He goes, turn around and look at your defense. You have Brooks, you have, then it was Aparicio, I believe, Davey Johnson, and Paul Blair in center. He goes, you're wasting your arm. He goes, make them hit to your defense and save your arm. So from that side, strikeouts, at least on that team, were not a big deal. But, I mean, they'd rather have somebody ground out and save the pitcher's arm, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Well, so I guess it depends how you look at it and from which side you're looking at it from.
Well, I'm looking at it from what's best for the game. The ball being in play is best for the game. So I'm looking at a big picture, but Robin Roberts was correct. You have a defense back there for a reason. And by the way, Luis Aparicio then eventually became Mark Belanger. Okay?
Yeah, correct.
Well, right? So that pitching staff, whether it was Jim Palmer, then later Dave McNally was there before Jim Palmer, but then later they brought in Mike Cuellar, then they had Pat Dobson.
Yeah.
They had Eddie Watt coming out of the bullpen. That great defense paid off so often for them. But the difference is, Bob, is that that group pitched. So it was all about mixing up pitches, right?
Right.
And not just, we're going to throw everything hard. It's all hard stuff, right? Even a cutter's hard stuff.
Yep.
And so they're trying to throw the ball, whatever pitch it happens to be, as hard as they can.
Yeah.
Palmer, Cuellar, McNally, Dobson, and especially the previous three, had longevity because they pitched. And when you're pitching, when you're pitching, which means it's okay to hit the ball, Paul Blair, who was, he and Curt Flood were the gold standard of center fielders in that era.
Right.
And
they could play shallow, but they could run the ball back and run back to the wall and snag a catch.
Exactly. And so you have to rely on that. But they pitched, which allowed them to get to the seventh inning, which allowed them to mix pitches up. Oh, and by the way, if they're putting the ball in play, there's an excellent chance you're throwing fewer pitches.
Right.
Because
that's the main thing.
Yep. When you're, how many times are we seeing 3-2 counts out there? And it's all hard stuff, which means they get the strikeout in the sixth pitch, maybe with a foul ball, the seventh pitch. Well, that's seven pitches on one guy. Wouldn't you rather have the seven pitches be on two guys?
Exactly. And it's interesting, too, because Palmer actually, early in his career, he had some arm problems until he learned how to pitch and not throw.
67 and 68, I think Jim had limited opportunities on the mound because he had arm trouble.
Right.
And then he did learn, hey, look, I better figure out how to pitch. Now, fortunately, he had some pros around him.
Exactly.
Because Cuellar knew how to pitch. McNally knew how to pitch. So there were enough great examples out there to do it. And
plus they had a bunch of relief pitchers that could get you out of a jam if you were really stinking for a couple innings. They could rely on them. So
exactly.
I guess it all depends on how your team's put together.
Well, but see, that I think what you just said is the important part for any sport. In any sport, it's about team construction. That's why when we were talking about the Philadelphia 76ers last week, they signed Paul George. Well, the issue with the Philadelphia 76ers in recent years has not been the ability to bring in the alleged star player. It's been the team that's been constructed around them. I mean, Golden State, when they had their dynasty, had a team. Right? San Antonio had a team. The Boston Celtics are a team. The Denver Nuggets a year ago were a team. They had other parts to that team. Like, I mean, did Jason Tatum have to go out and average 35 points a game in the NBA Finals? Or did Derek White and Drew Holiday do their part when they needed him to do it, and Al Horford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing that scares me about the Orioles a little this year is I just read something, and I don't know if it's just a rumor or if they're serious and considerate, but because Holiday, their shortstop, was sent down to the minors.
Yeah, it's
and
Norfolk.
Still highly regarded. There's a rumor out that the Orioles are thinking about trading him for two quality pitchers. Now, the debate comes down to, do you trade part of your future to try to win the series this year, or do you just hold with what you got? I wouldn't want to make those decisions, but...
I think what the Mariners dealt their guy to the Braves, right, that everybody was raving about was up for a short period of time, right?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I mean... Sometimes they get a look at a guy at the majors, and he was with the Orioles for how long? 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, it was a short period of time.
Short period of time. They sent him back down. And sometimes you wonder if, like, they see him in that cameo appearance, and they sour on him. Oh, yeah, whoa, hey. See, one of the more difficult elements in sports is patience.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's patient.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind trading them if they could guarantee me a World Series for 1 or 2 years. But
yeah.
Or are you better off keeping a guy like that and maybe extending a decent team, pretty good team, for a number of years? It's a tough decision to make.
Well, here's what makes the decision tough. Because I've always been a big believer in that one team wins it. And if you have the ability to make a deal that can put you over the top, you make it because you don't know if you're ever going to get realistically that close again. And I always feel over and over again, Bob, every time you're always building for the future, you have to ask yourself, what is your present?
Yep. The one good thing about the Orioles, they finally have an owner that I think actually loves the team and loves the city.
Yes.
So it seems like he's got a little more patience than some other previous owners they've had. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, you know what I like about him? Okay, you have this young nucleus in Baltimore. I mean, terrific, talented young nucleus that'll all be eventually migrating to the second contract.
I think that'll be interesting.
And I think this guy will pay the second contract. The previous ownership, I had my doubts, would.
Right. And it's whether or not that they, the manager and the coaches and the lead players, can they keep them loving each other, you know, like being part of the same team? Because that's a hard thing to do in today's sports, is get your next contract to be not weighed as heavily as, I love this team that I'm on, you know?
Oh, no question about that. And as far as your manager, he's not Aaron Boone, so you're good.
Nah.
Got like billions of dollars in payroll and is 6-16 his last 22 games. I'm very impressed.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Yep.
Take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right. Sap Hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. July 12th, the next big court date, which happens to be Friday between Clemson and the ACC. At stake is Clemson's endeavors to leave the ACC under the grant of rights. League claims it owns all of Clemson's media rights until 2036. They say the only thing they should pay is the $140 million exit fee. They're asking for a declaration that the ACC only owns its broadcast rights for games played while the school is a member of the ACC, and then granting the league Clemson's rights for the entirety of the ESPN deal until 2036 is not necessary to fulfill obligations of the contract. The date is significant because ACC schools have until August 15th. And, you know, we talked about this last year, so everybody knows that listens to the show regularly about the August 15 deadline to notify the conference of the intention to leave. If a school wants to play in another conference starting the next academic year, they'd have to say so by August 15th. If the court ruled in Clemson's favors, it would improve Clemson's position ahead of that date. A North Carolina judge on Tuesday morning promised to issue rulings on two motions in the ACC-Clemson case in Charlotte this week. So it's another step in the lawsuits. So we'll find out more as the week goes. By the way, is there a Pac-12 media day this year? Or are they just going to do a Zoom call? What?
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury, for all your beverage and snack needs. We were talking a little bit about baseball. We should have a fun show for you on Friday. If you like baseball, Scott Fransky from the Phillies and Tim Kirkjian from ESPN is scheduled to join us. Tomorrow should be a fun one as well. Glenn Macnow from WIP is retiring after this week. He'll join us at 1:09. Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer will join us to talk about the 76ers. Neil's regular turn at 2:05. And Angry Matt will join us at 2:35 tomorrow. Audrey Snyder of The Athletic is on at 2:35 on Wednesday. Ryan Snyder joins us from On3.com at 1:09, and then Dennis Dodds on Thursday at 2:35. Dennis is going to talk a little bit about college athletics. He's going to Big 12 Media Day. We mentioned his story last week about Pac-12 officials and what's going on with them. So there's always plenty of stuff to cover with Dennis, and that's, you know, that's a pretty good week for us. And I let's see, we were talking a little bit about baseball in the last half hour. You know, Paul Skeens is going to the All-Star game. Hopefully, I agree with Steve, he should probably start. That would be pretty big for baseball. What's going on a little bit around here? We're deep in the middle of district and sectional little league play. Section 3 major division softball just wrapped up yesterday in Sunbury. Montoursville rallied to win that one. They beat Minersville. District 13, 9-10 baseball, or 8-10 baseball yesterday. Lewisburg won the final two games. Lewisburg's going to advance to the Section 3 tournament down in Pottsville, so congratulations to them. For those of you that listen to the show fairly regularly, Bucknell coach John Griffin, saw him on Friday night. His son Johnny is the right fielder for those 8-10 All-Stars, so congratulations to them. Seals Grove and Berwick play tomorrow night up at Burvon Park outside of Berwick for the District 13 Major Division Championships. The 10, 11, 12-year-olds, that's the division that goes to Williamsport. That should be a fun one. Those two teams have played two one-run games, two pretty good one-run games over the last couple weeks. So if you get a chance to get up to Burvon tomorrow, go check that one out.
There you go. Sounds great. Sounds great. All right. So we talked about the All-Star game. That's fine. And next week, of course, will be the one of my favorite nights of the year that I've never watched. The ESPYs. Yippee. I've never understood that, but that's just me.
Well, because there's absolutely nothing going on the Wednesday after the All-Star break, and they needed programming.
I know. I know. See, it's one of the reasons you and I are off next week. Right? Just so everybody knows, we're off next week. So.
When I told the suit, I said, do you think he realizes that he gave us both the opening day of NCAA football off now?
Right, I know, yeah. That means nothing to me at all, but I know it means a ton to people who have been waiting for it. Just because it's something I'm not interested in does not mean that I don't have an understanding of that it's really cool for a lot of people. I think it's really cool for them because it is. I think that's great. I believe, did they say what, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on July 15th is the release date? Does that sound right?
I just know it's supposed to come out next Wednesday is my delivery date from Amazon, so.
Oh. Now, how's it being delivered to? Is it a disc? Is it a what? What is
it? I got the physical copy. But like
the physical copy, okay. Okay. And how many teams, does it have every team on there?
I think it has all the Division I teams on it, yeah.
That's cool. That is cool.
Now, the old one used to have all the 1AA teams and all that stuff, but I'm guessing, having to pay out the players and stuff, that they're probably strictly keeping it to Division I.
Okay. That's really, really great. And I'm happy for everybody that's wanted this game for years, that it's back. It was one of those that when the NCAA, this was always one of those, there's always something out there that comes up and your gut tells you that you've gone too far with it. And that the game was one of them. Where I remember when they came out with it, like, okay, so you're going to do it, and it just looks like you're benefiting financially from it. It doesn't look like it's doing anything for anybody else. And that was the problem I had with the trial. When it came time for them to sit down and talk about, right, tell them where the money goes. If you tell them where the, yeah, this is what we're doing with the money. Okay? And if you tell them, hey, look, we're putting it into women's sports, we're putting it into, you know, and start going through all the areas where the money would go, but they kept talking about the higher education part of it, and that's not where the money was going from it. I still can't tell you to this day where the money from the EA sports contract went. Can you?
I have no idea.
I have no idea where the money from that went. Did it go to scholarships? Did it go to programs? I don't know where it went. And that they never explained that. And that was to me one of those, okay, I think you pushed it too far here as to like what appears to be, okay, let's just talk about perception. The perception of here's another money grubbing, you know what I mean? Well, oh yeah, they're just taking the cash. That was the perception. I didn't say it's a reality. I would say, but that was the perception.
The cynic in me always thinks, you know, if we don't know after all this time where the money was going, they probably don't want us to know what they were spending the money on.
Agreed, Todd. Agreed. I agree with that completely. And I think that's a big problem with this. Now, with this, at least, like the players are getting a nominal amount, $600 plus the game. But I haven't heard a single player complain about it yet. They're not complaining about it. Right. For one thing, they're thrilled they're in the game. That's why they opted in. They had the opportunity to opt out. Arch Manning opted out. So not everybody said yes, but almost everybody did. And in fact, what they've had to do is they've had to inform the players now which ones. There are actually some who said yes to it who didn't get into the game. Just because you said yes doesn't mean that you were automatically in. And so they've already been informed because those are the ones that are going to get the payments. That's why they have to tell them.
I think you've said this before, and I agree. I think the more important thing to those kids is actually the free copy of the game than the $600.
Absolutely. I absolutely feel that way. That for them, it's like they got a free copy of the game. And they love the fact that they're in the game. They love the fact that they can run plays where they're making plays in the game. They love all that. The $600, you know, yeah, they'll have that spent downtown in a couple of weeks. And I may be exaggerating the length of time, maybe less than that.
Well, if you don't have a new gaming system, that's probably what partially most of the $600 is going to go
you know
for
what?
With the game.
You know what? I didn't think of that point. That's right. I think you're right about that. That's a big part of it. You know, they probably upgraded their gaming system to so they could have the game. That's great. Yeah. I'm glad it's finally coming out. It's a long time in coming. I don't know if they said whether they're doing NCAA basketball or any other sports like that.
I have not heard anything. I don't think they're doing. I think they're doing football right now. I think they'll probably approach basketball in a year or two, I would guess, once they see. I mean, this is going to be a great seller, but I think it's more the other stuff around it than actually making the game.
Yeah, because the key will be to come back and do it again next year. You know, because people want the latest game all the time. And with players changing schools all the time, Well, you want to have the latest guy with you. Like, say the game was out last year. Well, you'd buy the game this year because wouldn't you like to have Julian Fleming on your team? And not on Ohio State?
Well, I don't know how they'll handle the college ones, obviously, but the pro ones, they probably every couple of weeks will send out a downloadable, new roster with, you know, whatever free agents sign. Take example, Major League Baseball, whatever young guys come up that week or in the game then and things like that. I don't think they'll be able to do that with college football, but maybe at the end of the year or in the mid-year, if they're not doing another game, they probably do something like that.
Well, we have had on the show many times Brandon Gowden, and he is the voice of Madden. And he said he has to do an update every week. Now, he has a home studio to do it. And he says, look, and he says, it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, once the season gets going, it doesn't take a lot of time. But he literally updates the game every week. Now, they'll send him the scripts he has to go through. Boom. He does it. So we've had him tell that story before on the show. And I just think, you know, again, I have zero interest in it myself, none. But that doesn't mean I don't know you have an interest in it. And if you have an interest in it, I am thrilled for you that it's back. There are a lot of people, it's been a long time coming. And now it's finally going to happen next week. What's the first game you want to play on it?
Well, that's a good question. I would probably say Penn State.
Yeah, against who?
I'd probably throw Michigan State or Wisconsin in there because of the Southern kids.
Okay. There you go. Very nice. All right. In fact, you know what? I should throw out that question to the gamers out there. Which game will be the first game that you put into your system to play next week? I think that'd be an interesting question to find out for people. Because they've been waiting for the game for a long time. It may be, hey, I want Penn State to play Alabama. I want Penn State to play Texas. I want them to play Ohio State, whatever. I'm a better play caller than they are.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yes.
I'm going to win the big game.
All right. I think that's interesting. I would love to know. I don't know, what openings do we have this week? Because we have openings on here.
Mostly. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The middle part of the hour is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday usually.
And the suit. I did have to upgrade my system to play it, so it better be as good as it was. The suit already issuing threats.
10 days out.
It's not even 10 days out, my man.
9, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's 9 days out. Yeah.
I'm a math and genius in here.
No, it's actually, it's the 15th, it's 8 days out.
This is why I do sports and not math.
Ay. That's why I kid Girardi all the time when he says something. I said, you took math at Maryland, right? I said, that explains the issue. But this is... Okay, so what game, when you finally load up the game in your system? In fact, the Sue can answer right away. What day? Sue Deroni, since you're listening and not selling anything. What? What's the first game? Just text me. What's the first game you want to play when you load the system up next week? Have you picked out the two opponents? I think it's a great question. I think it's one of those fun questions. All right, we'll come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Hi, this is Steve Jones. Join me on Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Get your four-person scramble team together to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There are loads of prizes, including hole-in-one, closest to the flag, longest drive, and more. Call 570-556-4191 to get registered, and then join me and Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation Wednesday, August 7th at the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. So the question I have here, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket: when you get the EA Sports NCAA college football game next week, what's the first game you want to play on it? Probably been thinking who you'd like to match up. So what's the first game you want to play on? I asked the suit that question. Let's see, did I get an answer? No, he has not. Other than telling us he did have to upgrade his system, but you can tell this text was sent to us in disgust. I'm sure you noticed that.
It oozes out of it.
Yeah. But what is the first game you want to play on it? People have been, they can't wait for the game to show up. I'm sure they've been thinking about it. What's the first game I want to play? And your answer is a really interesting one because of the Southern Columbia guys.
I assume those teams will be able to keep it closer on there than Kent State will. So.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people, it's exciting, and I'm thrilled for them. But I think that's a fun question. What game do you want to play on there first? Now, the suit never answered the question.
Maybe he's actually working.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were serious? Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe not.
I didn't want to make light of your comment. I apologize. I thought you were kidding around. Oh, I feel awful. Not really. Nah. Got a big guest list tomorrow, including Matt Cotrillo on his 6-16 Yankees.
Could be worse. It could be 2-18.
Interesting.